Darlene Love's thunderbolt voice is as embedded in the history of rock and roll as Eric Clapton's guitar or Bob Dylan's lyrics. So wrote the New York Times about the Oscar-winning Rock and Roll Hall of Famer who began her singing career as the singer we all know as the background voice on so many hits, and at least one hit song as lead singer. At the Academy Awards, Darlene sang her powerful acceptance speech on behalf of all of the performers in the winning film, 20 Feet from Stardom. As she raised the Oscar, the entire house stood with a cheering ovation. A Grammy Award soon followed for the soundtrack of the film. Since the early 60s, as part of Phil Spector's Wall of Sound hit factory, Darlene has done it all. From major motion pictures, such as the highly successful Lethal Weapon series, to Broadway hits like Hairspray and Grease. She even starred as herself in Leader of the Pack, credited as Broadway's first jukebox musical. Darlene has appeared on numerous television programs, from her weekly appearances on Shindig to a recent guest spot on the PBS special entitled Women Who Rock. In the early years, Darlene Love's background vocals, lead singer for the Blossoms behind the Righteous Brothers, Dionne Warwick, Marvin Gaye, Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, Tom Jones, to name but a few, set the stage for her emergence as a star in her own right. Her Billboard hits include He's a Rebel, The Boy I'm Gonna Marry, Wait Till My Bobby Gets Home, and the number one holiday classic, Christmas, Baby Please Come Home, a song that she performed annually with Paul Schaefer and the CBS Symphony Orchestra on The Late Show with David Letterman for some 29 years. Darlene Love received her industry's highest award when Bette Midler, a great fan of her work, inducted her into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The legendary Darlene Love will be at the Community Arts Centre in Williamsport on Friday, February the 1st. The show begins at 7:30 p.m. I had the opportunity to talk by phone to Darlene Love recently, and we inevitably began by speaking first about her years as a backup singer.
Someone said, the most famous person that you don't know.
There you are. Well, of course, you've spent a lot of your career as a backup singer. 20 Feet from Stardom, what a wonderful film that was, that really enlightened us as to the lives of backup singers.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it was really wonderful. I had no idea it was going to be as explosive or as well done as it was. A lot of times you start out doing a story, and I talked to the director and the producer hours at a time about doing this and who I think they should get in touch with. And, you know, I try to remember all the singers that started out with us that people have no idea who they are. They just remain a sound and without a face. They dug in and found all those wonderful people that I've worked with for over 50 years. And they told everybody's story so wonderfully, you know, as much as they could. I told them I was in it probably more than anybody because they had more film on me, which was great. And the other thing about this film, it amazed a lot of entertainers who just never really thought about it. You know, I got more calls from friends that are entertainers, superstars, and went, oh, my God, what a great story. And a lot of them, it's amazing, saw it when they were on airplanes flying. And they said they got a chance to really hear it good and really see it because nobody bothered them for the whole time they were watching it. And I was very pleased with the fact that it touched so many. People started treating their singers a little better, which is okay. It's not that they didn't, but, you know, they thought more about their lives along with the lives that they lived. So it was very touching. You know, the movie was very documented very well. I was really surprised and happy about how it all came out, you know, how they put it all together. And then the cherry on top of it was we won an Academy Award. So, you know, that was, I mean, that was out of mind. Never even thought about that.
As a girl growing up and saving up my money and buying those singles, great singles, and hearing them, very often what remains in the memory are those wonderful backup vocals, even
yes.
more sometimes than the star in front.
Well, somebody said, and it's kind of true, if you don't know all the words to the song, you remember what the background voices are doing. That's a little better than having to learn all the words.
That's not how you started, though, is it? You learned to sing in church choirs. Tell us about the
yes.
Blossoms.
The Blossoms came along later, and I started actually singing professionally in 1958. But I had been in church all my life because my father was a minister. He was a pastor of a church. So we did a lot of singing in choirs. You know, when we'd ask my father if we could go and sing in other churches and their choirs, he thought that was a great idea. So that was a big help for me later on in life. Not that I thought I was going to end up being a backup singer or even a solo artist. That gave me so much help. How to help people, you know, how to get along with other people when you were singing. It was a group of people that were really singing. And it really did help me later on in my life.
Do you think that was a good training for being a backup singer?
Yes, it gives you a big help to fortify. You're not out here by yourself. You know, you're out here. You're singing either with 3 people, with 10 people, or with a whole choir. It really helps you get along with other people of other nationalities. You know, you get along, you have breaks, or you sit and you talk. We go to lunch together. So you get to learn people, their positions they're in, and who they are. So it's a real, what we call a fellowship of being around all different kinds of people and getting along with them, learning how to sing background. Because a lot of people cannot, they think they can, but they cannot sing background. You know, you have to learn how to harmonize and melt your voices with one another. You can't be too loud, or you can't be where they can't hear you. So it is a great teaching ground.
And then, of course, with the Blossoms, you had a hit with He's a Rebel.
Uh-huh. I was a background singer, and Phil Spector's partner was also a producer in California, where I was born and raised. We did a lot of backup sessions just for him. Then he told me one day that his partner, who was Phil Spector, was coming to California. He was living in New York at the time, and he had this record. He wanted me to try to find somebody that could do it. And because he had been working with me and the Blossoms for a while, he told Phil about me, and he thought that I could sing this song. And so Phil Spector came to California, met me. He taught me the song, literally taught me the song. He sat at the piano, and I learned the song. And within a couple of weeks, we went into the recording studio and recorded He's a Rebel, not knowing that the record would become a big hit like it became. It was actually a surprise for me because I had never been on a hit record with my own voice. I had been on hit records singing background, but not me singing the lead. So that was the beginning of my life as a solo artist, singing lead in a group. Because it was fascinating to me that I heard my voice on the radio singing lead. I used to find my voice on background on the radio, and I'd hear my voice. But it was a big surprise to me that record became such a big record. Actually went on to be a number one record.
So is that when you started launching your solo career?
Yes, and with Phil, because he started having all these monster hits, and that was his label. Phil Spector and Lester Sill, Phyllis Records. He just started recording me, and when he would get a great song, he would call me and the Blossoms, or if he needed more voices to put on a record, or, you know, even like background, I did the Blossoms and other people did the background for Love and Feeling and Soul and Inspiration and all those wonderful, great records we were singing background on. So that was the beginning of my career and life as a professional background singer and a professional solo artist.
You have been performing for a while. How do you keep it fresh and lively?
Well, I tell people all the time, I try to get as much rest as possible. Growing up, you didn't have any money to go see doctors or who could tell you how to take care of your throat. So most of it was try this, try that, and work on, and the biggest thing that I find out was rest, vocal rest. to keep your voice strong and healthy, because it's another muscle in your body. That's what your vocal cords are. And when you work out, you have to rest between jobs, working out, my special muscles. I taught myself how to go on vocal rest and just not do a lot of talking or when I'm not singing, you know. And I did smoke cigarettes for about 25 years, but I have stopped smoking now for almost 28 years. I haven't smoked cigarettes. So all those kind of things help to keep you in great shape and your mind. And one thing you have to do is try to stay healthy. So all of those things helped me get to where I am today and keep my voice as strong. You know, you don't know how much your voice affects your whole body. I mean, because when you're singing on stage, you use every ounce of energy that you have. That's why I tell my audience, okay, now y'all got to help me out here. You got to give it back to me if I'm giving it to you, because I draw my energy too also from my audience. Just little things like that to help you keep your voice, you know, strong and healthy. The one that hung out after shows, I say, honey, I got to go home and go to bed. I got to get me some sleep.
Do you enjoy singing in front of a live audience? Do you enjoy that energy?
Yes, because it gives you everything that you do. I've always felt that my singing is a gift from God, and I want to take care of it and protect it like you do anything else that you love and protect. I want to give my audience 150% every time I go out on that stage. If I'm not feeling good, you know, they don't want to know you're not feeling good. They paid to see you sing. And so I never go out there thinking, I don't feel good. I don't want to do this tonight. Your fans have paid to see you. So you're going to go out there and give it the best you can. And the whole idea that they see you as they want to see me in their mind. And that's what I want them to see. I want them to enjoy every minute I'm out there with them. So therefore, I put on the best show I can.
That's wonderful, but it must be difficult. There are times in one's life when inevitably it's not just physical illness, but you get heartbroken or you get disappointed, you get bad situations happening, and you've just got to put that all to one side.
Yeah, and that's one of the gifts I think that God has given most of us. We have learned to trust the gift that God has given us and go out there, because, you know, over the years I've had death in my family. I also had to have a hip replacement. I've also had a heart attack, you know, but can you imagine if you don't take care of yourself, what would happen? I've been working out physically since I was like 16 years old. All those things come. It's a part of life, but you don't want your audience to deal on, oh my God, she had a heart attack last month or last year, or she had a hip operation. You don't want them to dwell on any of that. So you get your strength away from them while you're healing and believing in faith that you're going to be healed, that you're going to go back out and do it as strong as you were before you had all these problems. But like everybody else, I tell the audience, I have the mic. You don't. So I can tell you guys everything that's going on with me and in my body. You know, but I don't look at anything. The heartaches or anything that I've had, I don't take them on the stage with me. I leave them off the stage and try not to pick them back up when I come off the stage.
That takes talent.
It takes a lot. It really does. You want to go out there and sing. You just lost your mother or your father or someone that you really care about. You don't want to go out on that stage, but it's so fulfilling to go out there and do it and not be in that drag of, oh, God, you know, I have to go back out here again. I really don't want to. You know, there are times when you couldn't do a date because you had to go to a funeral or something like that. But that's different from that heavy weight on you from somebody that you care about, you know. But you cannot take it out on the stage with you, and that takes a lot of practice.
When you span the generations in your performing life, obviously you're going to have fans in the audience who just adore you and they want to hear all the good old stuff. They want to hear all the stuff you've been doing. But you've also got younger people in the audience who want to get a bite of something new. How do you prepare for a performance? Do you mix it up? Do you teach the younger people to love the stuff that your long-term fans, tried and true, want to hear? What do you do?
It's amazing what has happened to me over the years, especially the last 30 or 40 years. my fans have started bringing their children, and their children are now bringing their children. So that helps because they have evidently told their children and the grandchildren about this great singer that they, you know, this that they love and who's been around for all these years. So that makes it easier for me. And I do mix it up. I mix it with the old and the new and with gospel. And they really do enjoy that. They can hang on to everything I talk about because I talk about things that has happened that has probably happened to them in life. Because everybody has gone through some kind of trouble. I talk about those things. I so enjoy when I see somebody out in my audience that's 15 years old, that's 20 years old, that's 60. I've met one of my fans who was 89 years old. She brought her daughter with her, who was in her 50s. So I've been blessed to have 3 to 4 generations come to my shows. And that really gives you a wonderful feeling while you're performing.
Darlene Love speaking about her long career and the show she will be bringing to the Community Arts Centre in Williamsport on Friday, February the 1st. For tickets, you can go online to caclive.com or you can give the box office a call at 570-326-2424. Many thanks to Darlene Love. I'll be standing right by